Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Greg Bredard joins Felger and Maz every Tuesday at 2 during Patriots season. Now back to Toucher and Rich, a 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A shot toward the end zone, perhaps. Shotgun snap to Hoyer in the pocket. He looks to the middle. Now he looks left. He's got to get away from Clark. Oh, and Hoyer is sacked back at the 27-yard line.
You don't
and the Patriots, with no timeouts,
this is unbelievable,
come away empty-handed.
You couldn't have more horrendous sequence to end the half as those two.
Was it clear on the field that that's what Tony Corrente called, that it was forward progress?
Yeah, ask Tony what he called. I don't know.
But it was clear to you before the Chiefs came out to punt that it was a forward progress call?
I just answered this question.
I feel like I'm asking a different question.
Well, I'm giving you the same answer.
.985 The Sports Hub. That is the sound of the Patriots losing. Bob Soucy is the voice of your New England Patriots on the .985 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. And Bob's takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea before every game. Hot takes and hot tea, Bigelow Tea proudly. Bob joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bob, active on Twitter, talking about how he's proud of the men for their display last night. And if you go by moral victories, the Patriots are 4-0. They hung tight against a very good Seattle team on the road.
I don't think
and last night. And last night.
Will you please read that tweet verbatim, all three?
Yes.
No moral victories here. No moral victories.
It says, while I have renounced my membership to the Proud Boys, I am proud of the way this team played. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't read the whole tweet. I didn't. Right. I'm busting. See, because my flavor today is this, is that it's not the Brady Belichick years, and that there are going to be, like, they were going to lose last night. They were going to lose that game. And just that, you know, it's nice now to be covering a team that, if you want to say we cover a team or I cover a team, that, you know, is like every other team now, not only in football, but just in sport, in that. Yeah. You know, the next day there's going to be a lot of what ifs. What if this happened? What if they, you know, what if the defense could have hung on to the ball? What if, you know, the officiating didn't suck in certain instances? And that's just the way that it's going to be now. I'm, of course, breaking your balls. You didn't do anything. But nonetheless, I wanted to start off that way. But nonetheless, but kind of talk about just because I'm not being sarcastic. Now sarcastic meter's off. Okay, so it was difficult for the team yesterday. It was odd circumstances. Did you get any kind of insight into what it was like for them to have to rush and not know they're going to play early in the morning and all those things?
Well, first of all, to your first point, this for 20 years, or the better part of 20 years, is what the rest of the league experienced and the rest of the league's fans experienced playing against the Patriots. How many games did other teams lose the way the Patriots lost last night, where they came away scratching their heads and fans came away scratching their heads saying, boy, we had a chance to win that game against the Patriots and it was a missed opportunity. Now, going back to yesterday, I think the last 72 hours have been extremely difficult. I think a lot of players expressed concern before they left, and then to awaken at their hotel. They were at an off-site location. They did not go to the stadium initially. They were at a hotel nearby. To awaken 6 a.m. testing, get on the buses to two different airports, you know, fly out to Kansas City, a little bit of rest in the hotel there, some meetings before taking off for the stadium. And really an unsettling situation, and professional athletes, especially athletes, anybody who, you know, who settles into routine I think, has to overcome any time that routine is disrupted. And it can be very difficult, but especially so, I think, for professional athletes. And yesterday was a day unlike any other, probably in their professional, in their football careers, maybe above high school, you know, once they got to the college ranks. And I thought overall, in terms of dealing with the circumstances, you know, they handled that part well. I mean, I think the things that cost them the opportunity to win the game were really unrelated to all these extraordinary circumstances, you know, that have taken place the last few days. There were mental mistakes and two egregious ones right before the end of the first half and right after the start of the second half, you know, by a veteran player in the most important position on the field.
Well, Bob, the whole sales job on Brian Hoyer was that he wasn't going to make the type of mistakes we saw from him last night. Is that he was this veteran, and he's a guy who comes in, he's very knowledgeable, he's the consummate pro. No one's expecting him to throw bombs or even to scramble or be any kind of super athlete. But the one thing you did expect was him to not make dumb mental mistakes, and he did that. So who starts next week if Cam Newton isn't here? Do you go Stidham or do you go back to Brian Hoyer?
You know, Rich, a backup quarterback, you're right, is not expected to make plays necessarily that win the game, but the expectation is that
don't make
the plays, right? Yep. And, you know, and Brian understands that. He admitted it after the press conference, but obviously that, you know, that doesn't do any good now at 2-2 getting ready for Denver. And if Newton, for example, if Newton is able to come back and rejoin the team, if the timetable unfolds by Thursday or Friday, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of him playing on Sunday. But I think at this point, if he's out of the equation, you have to prepare Jarrett Stidham to be the starter against the Denver Broncos. Give him a week to go through the preparations as the expected starting quarterback. It's really less than a week. They're out today, so they won't be into the facility for work on the field until tomorrow. But nonetheless, I think that's the route you have to go.
Now, Bob, do you think they like Stidham? We talked to McBride, and he thinks they do. But the evidence isn't there. What is your opinion on their feelings?
You know, Fred, I keep going back to a couple of different things. Number one, last year they had what they thought was a Super Bowl-caliber team. And he was the only backup as a rookie that they carried throughout the season. And then, you know, you look at this year, they didn't draft a quarterback, and they were in position to take a quarterback in the first round. They gave up their spot. Green Bay wound up picking Jordan Love in that very spot in the first round of the draft. They didn't sign anybody until they brought in Newton on July 8th. So to me, I think all the signs pointed toward what we were hearing. And I know it's been a topic of a lot of discussion on the station, in particular the last few weeks. Now, Stidham definitely fell out of favor in training camp, whether it was strictly because of the injury or was happening already, and I think it was. I mean, the signs were there the couple of days before he got hurt on August 20th that, you know, Newton was clearly going to be the front runner and eventually be declared the starting quarterback. I still think that there's promise for Jarrett Stidham in their eyes and their minds. You know, take it for what it's worth. Josh McDaniels had a lot of praise for him last week. I think last night, very tough circumstances under which to play. You know, a few positive signs, obviously some not so positive signs, but I'd like to see him with a week to prepare. And also, if he's going to be the backup to Newton when Newton does return, to at least have the opportunity to be the number two quarterback as opposed to the third, where maybe the only snaps he's getting in practice are running the other team's offense as the scout team QB.
Are you worried at all about the interceptions? We had the pick six last year against the Jets. He's got three interceptions and 17 passes in his career. I mean, the Edelman thing wasn't his fault, but he also had the interception that was overturned on a penalty at the end of the game last night. So are you worried about that at all?
Well, I think you have to be worried about any time you have a ratio like that. I mean, I think the interception on the throw to Bird, he was open, and it was the right read, the right place to go. He underthrew it. The interception last year, you know, to throw the guy away, and Jamal Adams, again, you know, it's a pick that, you know, there's no rationalizing it. You know, the interception, as you said, to Edelman last night off his hands. The quarterback, what I liked about it is that Stidham put it on him after the game. And that, right. You know, I think that's something that his teammates will recognize and appreciate. But it's a concern going forward, John. You know, this is a guy that hasn't had a lot of experience in the NFL in meaningful situations. Got it last night. Yeah, he threw the beautiful pass to Harry, but overall the numbers weren't good, and you mentioned the picks. You know, but I'd like to see him have an opportunity to be in that number two position or the number one against Denver and prepare. Maybe then we get a true reading on who Jarrett Stidham is and who he might become.
All right, Bob. So I saw a picture that the Sports Hub tweeted of you guys in the booth at Gillette last night while the game was on. What the hell was going on the field while you guys were playing the game, or you were calling the game there? That wasn't a Revolution practice, was it?
No, I don't know if it's like the Revolution Youth Development. I should know this, but I there were a lot of young kids out there playing soccer. They looked very young to me from where we were. We walked in there and I thought, oh, wow, the Reds are having a late practice. And then I, you know, realized, no, this is a bunch of young guys, probably teenagers, and they were, you know, they were gone for a long time. It was like a good 3 or 4 hour practice, whatever was happening out there. So yeah, soccer goals. I think there were 4 soccer goals on the field. You had activity on both ends of the field. There were different stations on, you know, drills and fundamental work. And we're up in the broadcast booth calling the Patriots and the Chiefs from Kansas City.
Well, that's nice and distracting.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't know they would do that while you guys were calling the game, but sure, why the hell?
Keeping Zoe's focus in general is difficult. I can only imagine if he has stuff in front of him.
Zoe's ability to tweet while calling the games is really something else.
He's watching soccer, tweeting, and oh yeah, talking with you.
Yeah, it's funny because like he's expressing his thoughts on the game in real time on the broadcast, yet there he is on Twitter.
It's amazing. He's tweeting. And he's reading tweets, and he's, you know, and he's getting input from Jim Louth in the back row and Mark Capello in the front row, and he's analyzing the game off the television. It's amazing.
It really is. It's apparent on the air today. No, I'm just joking. He does a great job. All right. Bob Soucy, the voice of your New England Patriots, thank you so much for the time, sir, as always.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Take care.
All right, appreciate it. There you go, Bob.
I was just thinking about this. So tomorrow is going to be the first day that Cam Newton's able to come and take a test because it's 5 days after his initial positive that he got. So then you're going to know. But then you have to wait and find out what it is. And then 24 hours after that, if indeed that one was negative. So you get 2 negatives in a row, and there's a chance he can come back. I, like you, Fred, think that they could beat Denver with either one of the backups, despite what we saw last night. Denver's really bad.
Oh, please. Yeah.
They're really bad. But think about this.
That's a huge punk.
Yeah, they found out that last night, or this morning rather, that the tests that they took before they left all came back negative. We found out for the past 2 days in Tennessee that they've had nothing but negative tests over the last 48 hours. Do you understand how like the league was hanging by a thread about 4 days ago? I mean, this whole thing was in jeopardy of collapsing on itself. If the Titans continue to get their positive tests back, and if something had happened with the Patriots, then they were talking about putting this whole thing on pause. Now, right now, it seems like, knock on wood, they might have dodged a bullet
for now.
But what it did do is it exposed that the NFL doesn't really have a plan if that happens.
They can't.
So you have to hope that all of this talk that's come out of the, you know, panic over the last couple of days will actually turn into results. Because you heard what the memo they sent out yesterday. This is in preparation for if things do go bad. Like if you have a team that continues to have infections, like they thought that maybe Tennessee would be one of those teams. Roger Goodell has threatened that they are going to force these teams to forfeit. Like not only take away draft picks, because that was already something that was put out there, but make them forfeit games, which obviously none of these teams want. It seems like that's probably going to hurt them the most. So you've got a situation where they were all set to pounce and like put this whole thing on pause. And right now you're sitting back and going, with every test that comes out, you're like, oh, thank goodness. We live to see another week.
For now. And the NFL has done a great job of blanketing in-facility problems and team functions.
Can't get it too high or too low.
But ultimately, it comes down to whether or not the players are responsible away.
And that's the thing, is that it's all fluid and there's no real plan. You got to take it as it comes.
Yeah. That's not a good attitude to have. They have to have a plan.
Well,
because take it as it comes could mean you miss out on a month of
what
games.
What else can you do? Well, what else can you do other than follow these kids home? What else can you do?
There's nothing else you can do.
No, of course there is. You can make plans to be able to schedule games on week 18, possibly weeks after that.
Yes, and they can do that. Why do it now?
Well, you have to be ready for it.
They might have a, for all I know, they have a plan, but I mean,
may be the NHL thing. This may be, okay, we have a plan. We're just no need to announce it
point. All you can do is make a mistake. I'm sure the plan is fluid. I mean, it's just if teams get tested, you take it a case by case basis.
We're going to have another opportunity to go through this again, Rich. You really think?
Are we going to sit here fretting about if someone else comes?
What I'm saying is that hopefully what they've done with this scare is they're actually planning for if this goes bad again. And that could be things like a postseason bubble, which I think is a good idea because you don't want to screw with the postseason. That's the one time you don't want to mess with this, obviously because of timing and probably because of the Super Bowl. You need to go ahead and get that ready. It doesn't sound like that's ready yet. And I just think that if everything that happened, I mean, we really squeaked by on this one, which is great. And I'm glad that, you know, obviously these all came back negative. But it just goes to show how much the whole season is affected if one team goes one way or one team goes the other, that these things that they are planning on doing, they need to take their foot off, like put it back on the gas, and they need to get these plans ready to go in case it all goes haywire again.
I don't have a problem with what they're doing. You take it case by case, and you've got
you don't think they should have
it.
A postseason bubble?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
I do. I think they need it.
They need it. They need it.
They can't. I mean, you can move the Super Bowl back a week.
Baseball's got them playing at their home parks.
Just the first round. Now,
Oakland's not at home?
Not now, no.
Oh.
Not now. The American League is in San Diego and L.A. The National League's in Texas.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know if they should have a bubble or not. I haven't made up my mind.
First round was at the home ballparks. Now it's different.
I mean, you're essentially, maybe you can have a bubble at their complex, and then, because I think that the teams, you're going to want to have the teams playing at their home, on their home field. So maybe you could. Ooh, someone's a high flyer over there.
What the hell's going on? Are you in the flight path? What happened
guy
there?
With like 1930s goggles and a prop plane.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Nice.
But I mean, I think that if maybe you have the players and sort of like what the Patriots did, have them stay at a hotel and you kind of bubble them up around the facility, and then you have them fly out to the field and play the game, and then have them come back and bubble up again. Maybe that's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the definition of a bubble, like if they keep them all together and with no exposure from the outside, for the playoffs, that's what you got to do.
Maybe.
Because the regular season, you're right. Things are going to happen. Games are going to get canceled. And they have that 1 week it seems like they're able to play with. But you can't do this during the playoffs. You can't do it. And even baseball knew that. And baseball is the worst run organization out of the Big Four anyway. So that's just something that they floated out there. And I'm surprised they haven't made that concrete at this point.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. That's their problem, not mine. Let them figure it out. All right, we'll be right back, and we can again discuss Tony Romo because it's still gnawing at me.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name's Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Leans forward, waits on the snap. He takes it, backs up five steps, bouncing on his feet. He's pressured. He's hit as he releases deep downfield. Oh. The pass is intercepted. Oh. Intended for Bird, picked off by Fenton, who runs it back past the 10, 15, 20. Slats it left at the 25, hit at the 30-yard line, and then he dives to the 34. Bird got him behind the coverage.
Oh, he had him.
Oh, yeah. .985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And for Patriot fans who've only been watching the Patriots for the last 20 years, that is maybe a lesson in what's going to happen. Things aren't Brady Belichick anymore. There are going to be mistakes made. I tried to give everyone a primer yesterday on what was going to happen, and Mike Lockhart made this little thing for us. here is how to watch the game, because this is how I've been watching, you know, the Lions and the Jets.
One to the right. Mahomes throws it to the left. It's caught by Watkins with the step. Then he drops the ball. It's out and loose. J.C. Jackson diving in for the Patriots. Burkhead to the 25. Spun around and eventually tackled by Matthew. Another first down run for the Patriots. Rex Burkhead.
Whoa! McDaniels and Bill have figured it out.
The snap of the placement. Swing of the right leg. Kick lifted to the uprights right down the middle. And the Patriots are on the board.
Fred sucks. You're on Twitter. You're on Instagram. I told you.
A three-man rush. He drops back in the pocket. He's hit by Winovich. He'll be taken down. The ball's loose. It's caught by Calhoun. Calhoun has it for the Patriots.
Things happen.
But Tony Corrente is going to roll Mahomes down.
No, you can't roll him down.
Jace Winovich had Mahomes wrapped up. The ball popped in the air.
The half ends.
Hoyer in the pocket. He looks to the middle. Now he looks left. He's got to get away from Clark. And Hoyer is sacked back at the 27-yard line. And the Patriots, with no timeouts,
this is unbelievable,
come away empty-handed.
This is the crushing scenario.
You couldn't have more horrendous sequence to end the half. Inexcusable.
Then the second half starts.
Play fake by Hoyer in the pocket. Fires down the left seam, and the pass in traffic is caught by Bird. Rises from the 10.
That's a bullet right there.
And then you have this high feeling. This is a scenario you do not want.
Hoyer waiting on the snap. He takes it. The Chiefs with an extra rusher. Hoyer under pressure. He's hit from behind. The ball is loose, and the Chiefs have it.
The Patriots score a touchdown. Now this is what we call false hope.
In the pocket. Lobs a throw left corner for Harry. Diving catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
And then you make the mistake of going, maybe there's a chance.
Flat through the hands of Edelman. It's intercepted down the right side, and Matthew's going to walk in high-stepping for a touchdown.
Backdoor cover.
There's no chance.
He's hit as he releases deep downfield. The pass is intercepted. Intended for Bird. Picked off by Fenton. Runs it back past the 10, 15, 20. Hit at the 30-yard line. And then he dives to the 34. Another interception for Kansas City.
I warned people. I gave you advice yesterday on how to watch the game. You can believe in their ebbs and flows in games. And you start to believe that something is going to work out. And ultimately, it's not.
I have to give you credit. It happened almost exactly as you said it was going to. The Patriots were right there. They were there in the third quarter. They were down three. And you're thinking, wow, this defense, they held Mahomes down. And then things went sideways.
And there you go. That is what was going to happen last night, and it happened. And that now you don't have to worry about that on Sunday, because that is a guaranteed victory. So you can kind of reverse that. And then if you're feeling bad about Sunday, don't, because it's ultimately going to come out in your favor. You're still the Patriots. For now. All right. Well, Tony Romo. Now, you guys were not as on Tony Romo. I usually don't care about who's calling games and who's doing the color. But last night, Tony Romo really, really bothered me. So I'm watching the game. I know the Patriots are going to lose, all this stuff. And then this reminded me of arguing with my mother. This just, the way he talks in this just reminded me of arguing with my mother.
Now, this one's tough because...
All right, so this is Edelman. The ball goes through his hands. Matthew intercepts it.
Yeah, Tyron
gets the pick six.
Yeah. Now, this one's tough because... You're going to take the safe throw, but watch what happens right here. It's a fake, and you're just going to fire to the sideline. But I believe... Jim, I genuinely believe... For a guy at Edelman's ability, okay? This is crazy. Maybe I shouldn't say it.
Just say it, stupid.
But say it anyway. Watch his head. His head turns and tries to go upfield, right? I genuinely believe he just hasn't been a huge part of the offense all game. And now all of a sudden, you're running a flat route. Okay. And now all of a sudden you're running it just from an emotional perspective of a player. Listen. Edelman's exceptional.
Yeah.
Like, off the charts, high level.
Okay.
But he's trying to look and go through it. But really, his body language is going to the sideline. He's just running a flat route that's kind of covered. So, he's been around a long time. He's like, I'm not really probably going to get this ball. The guy's kind of on me, and I'm running the flat. And then it kind of is there, and he's like, whoa. The emotional aspect of the game, though, and Belichick.
Can only shake his head.
It's the fourth or fifth time today. They're little things they don't normally do. Matthew, great instincts. If you act
accidentally bobble a ball, he's going to grab it.
Like, yeah.
Did he say anything there?
No.
Like that's the one thing. Basically, he danced around saying something and then didn't say anything.
Basically, Edelman didn't expect to get the ball, and he was half-assing it. Basically is what his take on that whole thing was. But he didn't know if he should say it, thereby drawing great attention to it and hemming and hawing about it to even disrupting Nance. You know, Nance had his whole glorious Masters thing that he had to he was going to do a big promo for the Masters, I would imagine, or he was preparing for one that was going to come in 20 minutes.
Everyone loves Chris Collinsworth, and you know, and he doesn't seem to have many enemies, but even he would have called that out. Like, he wouldn't have danced around that. I mean, that's part of the job.
It's no, it's not what he said
in front of you, and I know it's how he just he danced around. It was like
shut up. Just shut up. Don't say anything. Let it. Everyone saw what happened. Nothing needs to be said. Anyone, someone who has been beamed in from another planet and never seen football is aware of what just happened. The ball went through Edelman's hands and was intercepted.
I don't. Okay. I don't know if I should say it. But Edelman's, Edelman's, great. He's great. When you're an athlete, shut up.
Well, maybe he didn't think the ball was coming to him. Okay, well, he wasn't trying. Okay, all right, fine. Who cares? Oh, just hearing him talk and just... And then with the golf jokes and everything else, just shut up.
Yeah, that's inexcusable. Yeah, the golf jokes are just so lame. Yeah, that was the one thing that stood out. But I mean, as I said, you know, until you played that clip, which is pretty frustrating when you hear it, you're like, what are you doing? I didn't think much of it, and maybe it's just because I'm so used to him, it's become white noise in the background. But yeah, that's what are you doing, Romo? Come on, man.
I cannot stand him. I just cannot stand the two of them. And it's unfortunate because they do the big game. But Al Michaels can't duplicate himself.
What do you mean it's unfortunate? The big game, I think they've done every Patriots game, right? Have they done every game this season for the Patriots?
It's like Ian Eagle with the Jets. They're just on the they're Johnny on the
that,
spot.
That changes this week, though. Kevin Harlan this week.
I love Kevin Harlan. A sledgehammer between the eyes.
See, Kevin Harlan, who I like too, but I won't hear him. It's just nice. I just know it's there. And I'm not paying any attention. He stays out of the way. Good. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old Stackarooski?
Oh, we got another week, another nightmare for the Falcons. We find out a little bit more about what's going on with the Bill O'Brien situation, and the ratings are in for the Red Sox. And Werner, we have...
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. HelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
I have a problem.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Johnny Boy, what do you got?
Stack is brought to us by Window Nation. It's their buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
So this is kind of wild. If you take a look at the baseball season as a whole, this abbreviated season, ratings around the country were actually up a couple of ticks. Not too bad. I think it was in the single digits percentage-wise. That's nice. People were dying for sports. Fantastic. That is not the case with the Red Sox. As a matter of fact, the Red Sox had the biggest decline of any team in baseball. As a matter of fact, they dropped by almost 54% when compared to the first 60 games of last season. They ended up going down from a 5.15 throughout the first 60 games of last year, and this year they averaged a 2.14. That is bad. As a matter of fact, on nights where, what was the one night that we saw them go head to head with the Bruins when they were in the playoffs? They got like a 0.3 or something crazy like that. I mean, it's just as bad as it can get for the Red Sox. And you know what I was thinking is that, you know, there's one thing about the team not being competitive that might motivate somebody to get good players and to put a better quality product out there. But if there's anything that's going to piss off Tom Werner, it's low ratings.
Let's go Red Sox. Let's
and I'm wondering if because of this story, which has gone national,
go Red Sox.
If because of the press from this story blows up, I wonder if that's one of those things that we've talked about how, and it was in that book that Shaughnessy wrote with Terry Francona about feeding the monster, and the monster being this giant presentation of the Red Sox on television and how to make it larger than life. It was what brought in, I think it was like the Adrian Gonzalez big signings and all that. Wasn't yeah. that the era where they were talking about all that? That's feeding right. the monster?
Yep.
Don't you think that Tom Werner, when this story comes out, isn't calling them and saying, do something.
Yeah.
Make a big splash. It's even if it's not even the product that would drive them to do it. It's the TV ratings.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right. I'm sure that phone call has been made. I'm sure Harpo is on the phone to Chaim Bloom saying, hey, let's go. Now, you know, we lost half our audience from last year. And Chaim Bloom's answer to his boss should be, this is what you wanted. This right. is exactly what you wanted.
Not
you wanted
fault.
Me to cut, slash, and burn payroll? Congratulations. I did that. This is what you wanted. So it would go against all of the stuff that they did last year. But I keep coming back to this name. They're going to overpay to bring in John Lester for a year. And say, look, we kissed and made up with the guy that we really did terrible things to. We offered him a terrible contract. We realized the error of our ways. We want to make good on this. We're going to bring him back. Here's 37-year-old John Lester. And then Tom Werner's going to turn around and go, look, see? And the rest of us are going to go, yawn. We're not watching. Your team sucks. That's it.
There's not enough money in the world to make this team good next year.
Well, I mean, you might be right, but it doesn't mean that they won't make rash decisions in order to try to get that right.
I don't know. It depends on if Harpo gets his way. I mean, as far as I'm concerned.
Harpo always gets his way.
I just don't know what you're going to have in terms of ratings. I don't know how you're going to make this thing any more appealing to people.
And you know what stinks is that apparently we all missed out on some amazing Dennis Eckersley moments. And I can just imagine that, too. I mean, if you know nobody's watching, it's, you know, Major League. It's just sitting there just like, nobody's listening anyway. And from everything I've heard, you know, Dennis Eckersley was awesome. He was going off on tangents about living the life, and he would say these things about, you know, he would harken back to the days when
always
he was
bone like someone's watching. Every time I was with the Schakowsky twins,
write it down, Nick. Write it down, Schakowsky.
I always performed like old Herb was in the closet watching.
What? Old Herb? I mean,
what?
But that's what I want.
Old Herb, he'd let us use his bed.
Oh, all right.
Who am I to judge?
I see.
The van, listen, oil don't pay for itself.
Yep.
The van was broken down, so I got the Schakowsky twins at old Herb's house.
Okay.
Just for the price of merely sneaking a peek from the closet, old Eck could have his way.
Think about this. Their ratings got like halved, but baseball altogether made a jump, even in like young demographics, which nobody watches baseball. Like 18 to 34, they were up 53%. Like that's insane. 18 to 49,
but remember,
31%.
It was nice when it first came back on because
And to think that the Red Sox could even capitalize on that. And they took such a hit. That's bad. It's the first time that I thought that this team would have some sort of motivation to do something probably rash, but to make like a big splash to try to get people to watch. Because that's one thing Werner don't like that we've learned. And that is low ratings. The team can suck as long as people are watching. But if they ain't watching, that's going to be an issue. So we will see how that continues to go. Yesterday, if you didn't see it, of course, the Atlanta Falcons, they ended up losing another game, and things aren't looking very good for the Atlanta Falcons. Matter of fact, after all these losses that they've been able to rack up, there's always the question that ends up coming from the press. Hey, Dan Quinn, have you talked to Arthur Blank lately? What does he have to say about all that? Well, Dan Quinn, once again yesterday, was approached with that question, and here's what he had to say.
No, we visited after the game. We both spoke to KZ just to, you know, give him a hug and let him know we were thinking about him, but nothing past that.
I need to find out what the Bankroll Boys had for the odds of Bill O'Brien being the first coach that was fired, because I don't think he was top three, was
no,
he?
No. You would think not.
Yeah, because it would have been Gase, Patricia.
Quinn was in there.
Quinn might have been second. It was probably Gase, Quinn, Patricia. And you wonder if after the Bill O'Brien move, whether someone like Arthur Blank goes, all right, then what are we doing? You know, we got to make some sort of move. I mean, there's no excuse for the way that team has played. I mean, that's got to suck.
Man, you got
to
make your move. You can't just sit back. I mean, she ain't going to win that teddy bear herself. She's got a girl arm.
Got to throw that baseball and knock those bottles over.
I think that's how Daddy learned how to rip, grip and rip.
So this is all director's cuts should be. Apparently,
it wasn't all just sitting back to the Dukes of Hazzard. I learned how to grip it and rip it to Daisy Duke and also throwing the ball through them damn cans.
With the what twins?
Sokolovsky.
I think I like that one the best.
Write that one down. The old Sokolovsky twins.
Do you live up to your name? You like Vans?
Only if they're conversion.
That's the what's up painted on the side of my van? That's the goddess of getting it on.
Did I tell you the one time I rented an RV? You know, when I went camping, it was the dumbest thing ever. But we're going to rent RVs.
Oh, yeah, the hazmat special. I remember that.
Yeah, and I told you I showed up, and the like nice one I was supposed to get had been checked out to somebody else by accident. So I got this like Breaking Bad crime scene meth lab that they ended up giving me from like 1978. But did I tell you what was painted on the side of it? Like on one side was a like victorious cowboy with his fist in the air, and the other side was a Native American with an arrow through his chest. Dead.
That doesn't sound like that would go over well.
And I'm like, I'm driving this around.
You had so many opportunities to get out of that. You had so many opportunities to get out of that trip.
Nope, I couldn't have. Once I was locked in, I was locked in. You had to do it. And I showed up, and it was, I mean, I slept with 3 layers of clothes on, so I didn't have to touch anything that was in there. I mean, cigarette butt, like the holes in the middle of everything. Yeah, that sucked. So that was good. By the way, every director's cut needs to be done this way. Remember I mentioned that The Godfather 3 was coming out with the director's cut? I was like, who's asking for that? Well, I'd say that they did a pretty good job because instead of making it longer, they cut it shorter.
Ah. So
they probably took out all the scenes with his daughter, Sofia Coppola, which I think that was one of the biggest complaints about it. Nope, it now clocks in 5 minutes shorter than the original. No word yet as to whatever they cut out, but I like that director's
cut. Imagine going to see, like, oh, I wasn't going to buy it, but now that it's shorter. Well, you've already watched it. You've already liked it enough to buy it. Like, well, now that they've made those edits, it's going to be a whole new ballgame.
The studio wanted this scene in there. I didn't want that in there. It's always the opposite. By the way, speaking of fantastic films, Men's Health Magazine has just come out and ranked every single Sylvester Stallone movie from 47. I think he's made 47
Rhinestone.
Movies. I loved Rhinestone.
Stop or my mom will shoot.
No, but that's way at the end. Come on, what are you talking about?
I'm looking for the worst.
Or the most depressing movie ever that he's not in, Throw Mama for the Train, which every time it was on TV, I was fascinated how someone would watch that. Hey, we have a little guy shut-in with like a crazy, mean mom.
Throw Mama for the Train was not a good movie.
No,
not
it's the most depressing. It's the most depressing thing of all time. All
right, that was Danny DeVito and Billy Crystal?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And Mama Fratelli from The Goonies, I believe. She was the mama that they wanted to
show. That's right.
Yep. Okay, the very bottom of the list, Stop or My Mama Shoots, number 46. Second to last, Get Carter, It came out in the year 2000. They have everyone on here.
I didn't mind that one.
Get Carter. Rhinestone is hysterical.
Get Carter was like his comeback thing. That got good ratings.
Yeah, that's a hitman thing in Seattle. Him and Mickey Rourke. I remember that.
I don't think Get Carter with Stallone was a hit. I don't.
It wasn't terrible.
It was
praised.
You're thinking of Copland. Copland was praised. Was he nominated for an Academy Award for that, or was there just a bunch of talk? But that was really good. Rhinestone comes in at 45. Rhinestone's hysterical. It's him trying to be like a country western star with Dolly Parton for like the most ironically fun movie to watch is Rhinestone. They have some movies in here I've never even heard of. Oscar comes in at 44.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. You've got the
Expendables. What is he playing? Oscar? Is that he plays someone with a like?
He's a mobster. I believe.
He's the head of a mobster family.
I thought it was his like I Am Sam thing, like his...
No. There was nothing serious about it. No,
Rocky V comes in at number 37 as we're going down the list. Driven, a movie where he's a race car driver, it comes in at number 34.
Saw that in the theater.
How can you... Okay. Rambo, First Blood Part 2, like the Rambo, the one everybody loves, number 33 this list.
I'm starting to question these writers that Men's Health has that they've found on Craigslist. I mean, like, really, what do you think? Do you think there's a brick-and-mortar Men's Health building?
Sure, Men's Health Central.
Yeah, it's Men's Health's email address at GeoCity.
Right.
Number 32. They put the specialist ahead of freaking Rambo, which is so dumb. The specialist is awful. Judge Dredd at number 30. Okay, fine. You've got Grudge Match at 28. Some of these I've never heard of. The Expendables. The original at number 24. The Expendables was really good. Daylight comes in at number 23. The Expendables 2 at 22. Cliffhanger at 21. Cliffhanger might be a top 10 Stallone movie. Cobra at 19. Cobra's at number 2 in my book, only behind Rocky 4. That's at number 19. Rambo 3, Over the Top at number 16.
Over the Top is the worst.
But it's
ironically funny, though.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Where Robert Loggia's the dad.
He's like orange. It's great.
He smashes him through the window. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's Robert Loggia and Stallone, the two...
The Stallone soccer movie with Pele, Victory, comes in at number 15.
That was good.
Tango and Cash at 14. Death Race 2000 comes in at number 13. That was pretty good. Rocky Balboa at 12. What are you doing here? Rocky IV at 11. That's a sin. And then here's your top 10. Nighthawks at 10. The Lords of Flatbush at number 9.
Oh, that was his first one. That was Henry Winkler. That was back. That was long. Yeah.
Rambo, the 2008 Rambo at number 8. I would put that in the top 10 because it's so damn funny because he was fat and didn't want to work. He was just like, let me just shoot a big gun at the guys. First Blood comes in at number 7. Rocky 2, number 6. Rocky 3 comes in at number 5. Demolition Man at number 4. At least they gave Demolition Man a little bit of respect. That's a pretty good movie. Copland at number 3. Rocky at number 2. And at number 1, the number 1 Sylvester Stallone film, according to Men's Health magazine, Creed. What did I... Come on.
I'm a nice man.
Out of the serious Rocky movies, I like Creed the best. Out of the serious ones.
Well, there was only like 2 serious ones, right?
Well, 3, Rocky, I guess, Creed. If you count Rocky, Rocky 2, and Creed. Rocky 2, he was still trying.
Rocky 2 was still trying. Rocky 3 was when it got crazy with Thunder Lips, and Rocky 4 is a music video. Rocky 5 is just, you know, just stop trying.
Well, they made Rocky 6 as if Rocky 5 didn't exist. That was the best part.
That's right. Right. Rocky 6 was the one where Adrian's gone, so you died of the woman cancer.
That's right.
And then there was the one that was Rocky Balboa, which sucked, but it had the best speech of all the movies.
Yeah.
Thank you, Asimi.
All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.